start.
And welcome to our service on this fine autumn day. I guess summer is returning this week, but we'll take the cooler weather when we get it. Starting with worship begins with an expectant heart. Worship searches for a power beyond itself. It seeks with an open mind. Worship is threaded with truth and colored with emotion. Worship is being one with God, others, and ourselves. It is devotion. It is strength and power moved by eternal love. Worship is people like us coming together to rejoice in the presence of God. And now we will listen to our wonderful handbell choir doing Holy Manna by Martha Lynn Thompson. For a congregation this size, we are blessed to have that kind of a group. It's always wonderful to hear you folks play. Okay, just a reminder to, there's an attendance pad at the end of your pews. Please sign that and put it back so the ushers can gather it at the end of the service, and we know that you are here. Okay, can we stand for the singing of number 635 in the red hymnal, Because Thou Hast Said. Okay.
Thou hast said,
right, can you join me in the responsive reading, please? Of course, the congregation has the text in bold type, and I get the unbolded type. Good morning. May God's blessings be with you this day.
Good morning, and may God's blessings be with you also.
May the light of Christ's love shine on you today.
May the peace of Christ be in your heart.
Open your hearts to celebrate our merciful God's forgiveness.
With joy we open our hearts and spirits to the Lord. Amen.
Okay, now if you can remain standing, we have hymn number 367 in the red hymnal. Please join me in the prayer that's printed in your bulletin. Eternal God, open our minds to time beyond our time, to wisdom beyond our wisdom, to strength beyond our strength. As we pray for peace, which passes all understanding, remind us that the whole earth is already yours. As we pray for things not yet seen, help us celebrate your eternal reign. Amen.
I invite the young ones to come up to the front of the church. You want to come up? You can. You don't want to? Okay. Okay. Your mom's going to read scripture in just a minute. And part of what it's going to say is that we're supposed to put on something. Well, what do you put on? Huh? You put on sunscreen when you go outside. Why? Because it's hot out and it protects your skin, doesn't it? So it doesn't get sunburned? Yeah? You wear clothes. Okay. Well, you know Diana. Diana puts sunscreen on every single day. Well, she doesn't live by me anymore, but she puts it on every day. You know why? Because she doesn't want the sun to damage her skin and doesn't want to get skin cancer when she's like my age. It's one of the things she does to protect herself. Okay, so you put clothes on. What kind of clothes do you wear? You got shoes? Shoes, socks, shorts, and shirt. Whoa, four S's. Okay, why do you wear shoes? Because someone tells you to?
No.
It protects your feet from getting blisters. Okay, anything else? Oh, it doesn't ruin your socks. Well, why do you wear socks then? So it can protect your feet as well. Now, why do you wear shirts? So the sun doesn't go through? So ticks don't get in your back? Okay. That's happened. Okay, and why do you wear shorts then? Okay, so you wear shorts because if it's very hot and you wear pants, you'd get hot and sweaty. You have soccer, yeah. You wear shorts for soccer. Okay, so do you wear slacks in the wintertime then? Because it's colder? Yeah, why? Why in the wintertime? No, why do you wear pants in the... Did I say socks? I meant to say pants. Why do you wear pants in the wintertime? What happened if you wore shorts in the winter? You'd be freezing, so it protects you again, huh? Do you wear winter coats?
Yes.
Yeah, do you wear winter coats because it protects you from the cold?
Yes.
Do you wear something to cover your ears?
Earmuffs?
Okay. Or hats? Yeah, okay. And that's all to protect you, right? Okay. Well, what this talks about is putting on compassion. Putting on kindness. How can you put on kindness? It's already on you? Okay. How do you put on gentleness? Do you know what gentleness means?
Yes.
Okay. How do you put on patience? Are you always patient?
No.
You're never patient. Okay. So... You get what? Oh, you get excited.
No,
you get excited when... You get a little bit excited?
Elated.
Oh, you get elated. Okay. Okay, so you don't have any patience on you, right? You don't put on patience? You have patience. Okay. Do your mom and dad have patience?
Yes.
I think so. Okay. And then it says, if you... hurt someone, or if someone hurts you, what are you supposed to do? You put on forgiveness. Yeah, that's right. You help them up, okay. If you don't understand something, what do you do? What do you put on then? Some learning? Or some wisdom it talks, okay? So we don't walk around with something that says wisdom or patience or kindness or mercy, but all of those things become a part of us, and that's what that means is that sometimes if our patience is all used up, or our kindness is all used up, sometimes we have to stop and think about it and put it back onto ourselves make a decision to be kind or a decision to be patient. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what the scripture is this morning. So when you go downstairs, there's some other kids who are going to go downstairs, I think. Okay? So when you go downstairs, what are you going to wear with you? The same clothes, yeah? Okay.
Helpful.
Helpful, okay.
Caring.
Caring.
And kindness.
And kindness. Okay, you've got it. Let's say a prayer. And patience, yes, okay. Let's say a prayer. We thank you, God.
We thank you, God.
That we know Jesus.
That we know Jesus.
And Jesus shows us How to be?
How to be.
Kind?
Kind.
And patient?
Patient.
And caring?
Caring.
Amen.
Amen.
Walk, we're walking, we're walking.
And now we have another treat from our handbell choir. Oh, never mind, I've got Colossians 3, 12 through 17. This is not an easy passage to interpret. From what I could find, it mentions that in the previous part of the chapter, which is entitled The New Life in Christ, there are five negative not virtues listed, but in the passage that I'm reading, it's going to be five positive ones. And Pastor Doris sort of stole my thunder by mentioning most of them. But anyway, see if you can spot them in my reading. It's verses 12 to 17 in chapter 3, which is on page 190 in your pew Bibles. Okay, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with your gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. Now we have a treat from our handbell choir. Before I give you the gospel lesson, I will get around to doing the announcements. All right, in addition to what you see in the bulletin, I am to remind you that it's World Communion Sunday, and we have some envelopes to fund graduate racial ethnic World Communion scholarships. One half of the annual amount that's reserved for the ministries beyond the United States comes from this. The donations also provide for undergraduate U.S. ethnic scholarships and ethnic in-service training programs. So if you can spare a few dollars for that, it's a very worthy cause. Yeah, let me see here, sheet also. And then those of you that would like to partake in a small discussion group of discussing how is it with your soul, please contact Sue Evans, and her email was listed in the bulletin. Also a reminder to go through your closets and pick out any coats and winter items that are no longer needed, and the outreach committee will be collecting them out in a box outside the kitchen. Thank you very much for whatever you can provide. The sofas are taking a trip to, I think that's Scholin's Chocolate Factory, on Wednesday of this week in Mount Horeb. And if you come to the church by 9:15, they'll arrange for a carpool ride. Please plan to eat your lunch in Mount Horeb. And then on the calendar this week, we've got a UMW board meeting at 10 o'clock on Tuesday. There's at 1 o'clock, the UMW is having their bazaar workshop. Those of you that are available, please help out. And at 6:30, there's an outreach committee meeting. On Wednesday, it's a 9:30 leave for the sofas. I'll arrive here at 9:15 for your car ride. And at 1:30, there's a memorial meeting. Anyone have anything in addition to these announcements? Okay, now I will get on to our gospel lecture, which is in Luke. It's different verse numbers than is printed. It's Luke 33 to 43. In Luke 23. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself. He is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise."
I invite my readers to come up to the front.
I have been blessed by God. I have a lovely home, great family. I am doing very well in all aspects of my life. God is truly pleased with me. This I know.
Jesus, remember me
When you come into your kingdom, Jesus, remember me. When you come into your kingdom.
I am so talented. There is almost nothing that I can't do. I have been given so many gifts and talents. Everyone says that they wish that they had half the talents I do. I try to use these talents as much as possible so people can say what I really can do.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
I don't need anyone. I'm sufficient unto myself. Nobody needs to help me with anything. I don't want to be beholden to anybody. Let other people cry and whine for help, not me. I can do all that needs to be done by myself. I don't need anybody.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
I am frightened, Lord. I need help. There are wonderful gifts that you have given me, and I try to use them to your glory, but sometimes I fail. I feel as though I am letting others down and letting you down also. Please lift me, Lord. Please remember me and help me to be strong for you and for others.
If you know this, will you join me? Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Thank you. Sometimes we have many of the feelings expressed by our readers. We are sometimes very proud and arrogant, thinking that we know what is best, never wanting to rely on anyone but ourselves. But at other times, we cringe with fear. We doubt our gifts and abilities to use them. Our faith is tested, and we wonder if we are equal to the test. Through all of this, the Lord of life beckons us to place our trust in God's loving mercy. May the love of Christ reign in your life always. There used to be a bridge, a walking bridge, a swinging walking bridge that crossed the Pine River in Richland Center. One day my dad told us about this swinging bridge, and we were in the car, so he took us over to it. He told us how that bridge had been there since he was young, and although my dad was probably about 35 or 40 at the time, I figured if it had been there when he was young, that it was a very, very old bridge. And probably the bridge wasn't very safe. It was put there, I think, in like the 30s. The Pine River divided Richland Center into two parts, and at that time, the part of Richland Center that was away from the downtown was the wealthy part of Richland Center. Other areas have been built up since then, but the bridge was put there so that children who were walking back and forth to school, because there wasn't a school on that side of the river, they were walking back and forth to school, and it made it easier for them to do that. So on this Sunday afternoon, Dad took us to the bridge and invited us to walk across it. And since it was old as my dad, or older, I wasn't sure it was safe, so I was the fearful one. My brothers just got on the bridge and ran back and forth, and they were having great fun. And I waited for them to get off because I was sure that anyone's weight beyond mine would make it collapse. Finally, they were off the bridge. I started, got about halfway across, and the water looked deep to me. Got about halfway across, and my two older brothers, of course, came running across the bridge, and it was shaking, and I was sure I was gonna die that day. I screamed. My dad yelled at the boys for doing that, and probably at me for screaming and crying. They scared the bejeebers out of me that day. And I think that is why, to this day, I get a scared feeling inside whenever I cross a bridge. Now, not the Sauk City Bridge and not the Prairie du Sac bridges. Those are okay. But do you know that there's a 19.2-mile bridge between Norfolk, Virginia, and whatever is south of there? And it's not only a bridge, it's a bridge and a tunnel. So it goes along for a while, and I guess they can't sustain that for long, all that 19 miles. So it goes down under the water, and somehow they keep the water out of there, but it goes down for a while, and then it comes back up and goes back down. My sister and I were vacationing out that way, and that was how we were supposed to get to the next place that we were going. I could only do that in the dark, because I could not cross that way if I was able to see what was going on. I am afraid of many bridges. But when I think about that as a metaphor for who Jesus is, it brings me great comfort. Jesus chose to go to the cross. He could have said no. There was a piece of him that really didn't want to do that. The night before Gethsemane, he prayed to God to make another way for him not to have to do this. But he chose to do it. Jesus became the bridge of mercy for us when he allowed himself to be nailed to that tree. Nailed to the tree, people mocking him. And he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." A bridge of mercy for them. He saved others. Let him save himself. If he's the chosen one, they mocked him. And he felt mercy for them. Didn't they realize that he could have called down a whole legion of angels? Didn't they realize that he had the power to save himself? They were looking for a Messiah, but they didn't. They didn't realize who he was. But there was someone who recognized it that day. It was that thief. He didn't mock Jesus. Instead, he acknowledged who Jesus was by saying, "Remember me today when you come into your kingdom. Remember me." He realized that it was Jesus who could span that chasm that was created by our brokenness. He recognized that Jesus was the way. Jesus was the one. He was the bridge in a world that desperately needed a Messiah. The world desperately needed to know Jesus. And the world desperately needs to know Jesus yet today. We hear that when we listen to the news. People in Spain rioting over a vote. U.S. school districts preparing for an influx of Puerto Ricans. The United States talking directly to North Korea. Airstrikes in Syria, killing and wounding. Prosecutors prosecuting a pharmacy worker who diluted cancer drugs. Those are just the headlines. The world desperately needs to know Jesus. And while we cannot see him with our physical eyes and cannot know his physical appearance, we know him through his divinity. And that divinity is expressed to us today through the reading from Colossians. Jesus was compassion. Jesus was kindness. He was humility and gentleness and patience. And so that is what we are to put on. We are to be tolerant with one another. I need to hear this. If someone has a complaint against someone else, we're supposed to go to that person and forgive one another. I need to hear that. We need to be forgiving as Jesus was forgiven. And we are to put on love. It is love that makes us who we are, and love that causes us to come together as a community, as followers of Jesus, to take on Jesus' divinity means that we need to live richly the life of Christ. And the most difficult one is whatever we say, whatever we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. We do it in his name, not just here, but in the week that lies ahead of us. We do it in Jesus' name, because he has made the way for us. He has shown us mercy, that we can share that. Amen. I invite the ushers to come as we share the blessings that God has given to us. Let me also say that the flowers here today are given in memory of Otis Hutchins, Roxanne's father. Together. Your days are surely coming, Holy God, just as surely as this world are real. We offer these gifts in awe of your mercy to us and in celebration of your present and coming reign, that life, even abundant, might multiply for all people. Bless these gifts that they may be used according to your will. Amen. You may be seated. Brandy Moser is Carol's daughter's boyfriend, and he's got some internal bleeding, and the doctors don't know why yet, so they would like prayers for him. Let me also share with you, most of you know that Alice Kinchy fell a week ago Saturday morning, broke her hip. She was in the hospital here. They discovered that she has congestive heart failure and a blockage in connected with the aortic valve. So she was sent to St. Mary's. She had that blockage cared for earlier this week, and she was scheduled to have her hip fixed this morning. They were not able to do the surgery because her heartbeat was irregular and her blood sugars were just way too high, so it's been rescheduled for tomorrow morning. So we want to keep her in our prayers. We certainly keep Roxanne and her sister Jerry and their whole family in our prayers as they continue to walk through these days with Otis's passing. Other people or situations? Yes.
My cousin Marilyn Hamburger Arnold is in Grace right now fighting for liver and lung issues.
In Grace?
A Grace.
Okay. Marilyn Arnold?
Marilyn, yeah.
Okay. Let us pray. Listen to your children praying, O Lord. Help us to remember when we slide back into self-centeredness that you have forgiven us, you continue to forgive us each time, and you call us to be your beloved children. Hear our prayer today. As we remember those who are in need of your healing touch. Your healing touch has made Otis complete. But continue to be with his family. Sometimes death here and being born into eternal life is merciful for the person who is making that journey. But even though we're thankful, we have the work of grief to do. So be with them. You have given us amazing abilities to heal, and you have given us tools and people to help make that happen. We pray that healing for those who have been named today and for those of us who have our own healing needs, for those we lift silently. In all the moments of our days, O God, you are with us. We know that you are with us when we are born, day by day, as we grow and make decisions and live out our lives, and you are with us as we near the end of this one. So, gracious God, come to us this day, however it is that we need your presence. Through Christ, you have made the way for us to be at one with you, in communion with you. Be with us this day. We pray in Jesus' name and as he taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Would you turn to page 9 in the hymnal? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, he gave thanks to you, he broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do it as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on those of us gathered here, and make these gifts of bread and the cup, and on these gifts of bread and the cup, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. This is the feast which God prepares for the people of God. This morning we will be receiving communion in the pews. The ushers will bring the bread and the cups, pass them to you. In our tradition, all are welcome to share in the bread and the cup. They are God's gifts. I invite you to come. Ushers, please come. In the bread of Christ, in the body of Christ, as the living bread, let us eat and know the fullness of life. because in that we are attempting to live out what God has already done, made us one. Let us drink. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And our closing hymn today is number 389, Freely, Freely. Go joyfully, give thanks to God, endure with strength and patience, and may your feet be guided in the ways of God's peace. Amen.
That was the. Yeah. One of these starting to paint in the morning. Those are the new lights. Yeah.
Those too.
Yeah, so it'll be a lot of brightness. Yeah.